Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present our 2014 fiscal year's figures to you. Let's start on page three of the presentation, which should be in front of you. I might recall that it has now been a year since we revised our strategy and introduced our new motto of Teams Work instead of Building Europe as a single common denominator. At the same time, as you might recall, we set ourselves the target of an EBIT margin on sales of 3%. In 2014, I can now say that we came one step closer to achieving that objective. Hence, we increased the margin from 2.1% to 2.3%. Our strategy of double diversification continued to prove its worth in 2014. For instance, despite the crisis in Ukraine and Russia, it was not necessary for us to adjust our forecast. In the end, the output volume reached exactly 13.6 billion euros, which was the previous year's figures as well. This was fully in line with our expectations. The EBIT grew by 8% and amounted to almost 282 million euros compared to our forecast of at least 260 million. The net income after minorities and the earnings per share, the latter amounted to 1.25 euros, even showed double-digit growth, +13%. The equity ratio stayed at more than 30%, which was also our aim. Higher earnings, of course, mean that also our shareholders might expect a higher dividend. The members of the management board will therefore propose to the annual general meeting on 12th June 2015, a dividend risen to 0.50 per share. The dividend payout ratio of 40% is thus within the range of between 30% and 50% of net income after minorities, as defined by our dividend policy since the IPO in 2007. The dividend yield with 0.50 per share stands at 2.8% in relation to the share price as at of the end of last year. One might say that our orientation towards Teams Work has already paid off. Let's take a closer look at our full year's figures now for 2014. On page 14, we give you a comparison of the output volume as compared to the previous year. It remained, as you see, exactly stable as predicted. We generated again 13.6 billion, unchanged at the same high level as the year before. We have seen increases in our home markets of Germany and Austria, but they were offset partly with declines in markets such as Russia or Romania. The output volume in our home market, Germany, developed positively thanks to the mild winter and despite to the very restrained tender award policy in transportation infrastructures on the part of the public sector. On the other hand, large projects were completed in Romania and Russia at the same time that newly acquired orders in these markets have not yet found expression in the output volume. I might remind you that our output is generated by more than 14,500 sites where we work in parallel with. Let's now come to the order backlog on page five. Also there, we see a positive development and a plus of 7%. At 14.4 billion, the order backlog reached a high level. Actually, it was a record high, and that figure covers more than the planned output for the 2015 full year. Growth was seen especially in Central and Eastern Europe. A number of medium-sized orders in Slovakia and Romania, projects in the private industrial construction sector in Russia, and a number of Polish transportation infrastructure projects helped us to drive the order backlog up. In other markets, such as the big home market of Germany, here, especially in the building construction and civil engineering segment, the order backlog had already previously reached a high level and remained stable. Let's now come to our result figures on chart number six. As you see on the first graph, we registered a 4% increase of the EBITDA to almost 720 million euros, whilst the EBITDA margin grew from 5.6% in 2013 to 5.8%. The depreciation and amortization stood at almost 438 million, or at about the level of the previous year. The depreciation on property, plant, and equipment involves special equipment purchased for the group's international business, especially tunneling, with the expense to be depreciated over just a few years of construction time, as well as depreciation on equipment in hydraulic engineering. This results in a plus of 8% in the EBIT figure, which amounted to almost 282 million euros, and an EBIT margin of 2.3% after 2.1% in 2013. The EBIT development in the year 2014 is hence a right step to reach our midterm goal, which is 3% EBIT margin as from 2016 onwards. Let's now come to page number seven, where we give you the earnings per share and the net income after minorities. First of all, let me say something with regard to the net interest income. While exchange rates differences amounting to more than 13 million had been registered in 2013, the net interest income in the past financial year, 2014, contained foreign currency effects of just a little bit more than 5 million. The result was a net interest income of minus 26 million euros compared to almost minus 32 million the year before. The reason for the lower interest burden can be found in the interest received for the financing of associated companies. In the end, EBT showed a plus of 11%. The unusually high income tax rate of more than 42% due to the lack of tax savings for the losses incurred in Sweden, the Netherlands, and Portugal, and as a result of non-tax deductible expenses, nevertheless resulted in a 6% decline of the net income. Earnings owed to minority shareholders amounted to just almost 20 million euros compared to more than 42 million euros in 2013. This can almost exclusively be explained by the reductions of earnings for Adsüblin AG, our German subsidiary. The net income after minorities for 2014 thus came to almost 128 million, which is a plus of 13% versus 2013. The number of weighted outstanding shares decreased significantly due to the buyback of own shares, which was concluded in 2013. It stood at 102,600,000. The year before, it was 102,716,850. The earnings per share also increased by 13% and reached 1.25 euros. Our dividend proposal is given on page number eight. We have always placed a great value on a constant dividend policy. My management board colleagues and I are keeping to our goal of paying out between 30%-15% of net income after minorities to the shareholders in form of a dividend once a year. The exact payout ratio, however, is determined by the general development of the business, as well as by the group's opportunities for growth. Of course, higher earnings mean that our shareholders might expect a higher dividend. We will therefore propose to the annual general meeting, which will be taking place on the 12th of June, to pay out a dividend of 0.50 per share, as I mentioned before. Hence, the dividend payout ratio of exactly 40% is just in the range of 30%-50% of the net income after minorities, as defined by our dividend policy. We'll have a look at the net cash position on slide number nine. As you might see, we have seen a net cash position rising from 74 million euros in 2013 to 249 million on the 21st of December 2014. This figure definitely will help us to keep our investment grade rating of BBB- stable outlook from Standard & Poor's. The bond issue of January 2015 is proof that this affords us a competitive advantage because it allows us to finance at relatively affordable conditions. For instance, we issued that 200 million bond, which has a seven-year duration with a coupon of 1.625% only. The different cash and cash flow positions are given on page 10. Especially the increase of cash and cash equivalents from 1.7 billion to 1.9 billion euros at year end 2014 was the reason for the higher net cash position given on the slide before. If we have a look at the details of the cash development, we first show the figure of the cash flow from earnings. It was 21% higher than the previous year and amounted to 620 million euros. The cash flow from operating activities grew by 16% and amounted to 805 million euros. The changes in inventories were noticeably affected by the sale of a very successful proprietary building construction project development in Germany. The working capital improvement was further influenced by uncharacteristically high project-related advance payments, which we have taken in by the end of last year. The cash flow from investing activities was driven by the acquisition of the German and Austrian-based facility services company DIW Group, which we acquired from Voith of Germany, as well as the takeover of financing from a Romanian associated company. This item grew from the previous year's minus 232 million to minus 435 million in 2014. The investments in property, plant and equipment, on the other hand, were down by 11%. Finally, the cash flow from financing activities was significantly more negative, reaching minus 142 million versus minus 6 million in 2013 for two reasons. First, unlike the previous year, no bond was issued in 2014. And second, loan repayments made following the scale of a project development resulted in a lower level of bank borrowings. Now we come to the working capital and the free cash flow, and we give here a chart on page 11. As a result of the high cash generation, we could post again a positive free cash flow, which is the difference between CFO and CFI, and which amounted to 370 million euros by the end of last year. We had forecasted net capital expenditures, which is cash flow from investing activities, in an amount of approximately 350 million for 2014 financial year. In the end, however, the net capital expenditures totaled to 435 million and so were clearly above the budget. The budget planning did not yet take into account the acquisition of the DIW Group and the takeover of financing from the associate company in Romania, as I mentioned before. These two factors drove the cash flow from investing activities. The purchase of property, plant and equipment stood at 346 million. It is a gross figure before subtraction of proceeds from asset disposals. About 250 million is spent annually as maintenance expenditures related to the equipment fleet in order to prevent inventory obsolescence. The high proportion of expansion expenditures in relation to the total expenditures on intangible assets and on property, plant and equipment is largely due to the project-based nature of STRABAG's business. In 2014, for instance, the group invested especially in project-specific equipment needed for its international business, as well as equipment for specialty business such as pipe checking. Expenditures on intangible assets and on property, plant and equipment during the year under report must be seen against depreciation and amortization in the amount of 438 million euros. This figure also includes goodwill impairment in the amount of almost 29 million for the fiscal year 2014. Let's now have a look at the three operational segments of the STRABAG Group, which are divided as per regions. We start with the biggest segment, which is North and West, comprising the home market of Germany, the Benelux states, Scandinavia, and Poland. The output volume of this segment underwent a positive development and grew by 5% of the previous year to reach a record high of 6.3 billion euros. The largest contribution to this increase came from building construction and civil engineering in Germany. The projects acquired some time ago in Denmark also showed a positive impact, while the output volume generated in Sweden and Benelux was somewhat lower than the year before. The EBIT figure of the segment only reached 29 million euros and so remained 60% below the previous year's level. Substantial factors for this negative development included warranty claims in road construction, a one-off social security back payment in Portugal, devaluations in Sweden, and, as was the case already last year, financial burdens related to a hydraulic engineering project in Germany again, and a transportation infrastructure project in the Netherlands. The order backlog, however, increased by 4% and amounted to 5.7 billion. This growth was driven above all by Poland and Denmark. In Poland, for instance, a whole series of new orders proved that the market might finally be on its way to recovery. In Denmark, we were awarded the contract to build the Axeltorf project in the heart of Copenhagen, a 14-story multi-use building in the center of the Danish capital. It has a contract value of more than 100 million. On top of that, we won the tunneling project, including station and ramp, for the Copenhagen Metro with about 90 million of contract volume for our Danish Zublin subsidiary. In the home market of Germany, the order backlog remains slightly below the year-on-year comparison, but still at a high level. If you have a look at the development in 2015 for the segment, we can say that we expect an approximately constant output volume of about 6.2 billion. Especially in Germany, where we generate about three quarters of the segment's output volume, two different trends can be observed. The country's building construction and civil engineering business should continue to contribute quite positively to both output and earnings, while subcontractor prices are no longer expected to rise, but could even fall slightly. In the German mass market of transportation infrastructures, on the other hand, no substantial investment boom is still expected next year, despite the increasing state of disrepair of the transport infrastructure in the country's western part, and despite the government's announcement that it would raise investments. This basically also applies to large projects. The Polish construction sector, with about 11% share of the segment's output, the second biggest market of the segment, again recovered significantly. The Polish Road Construction Authority had planned to make investments in the amount of 7.5 billion for the 2 years 2014 and 15, and issued respective call for bids. Additionally, investments of more than 10 billion euros are expected in the Polish railway construction sector between 2015 and 2022. On page 10, we show you the basic figures for our second biggest segment, which is South and East, comprising the home market of Austria, Switzerland, and the South and Central Eastern European countries. This segment generated an output volume of 4.2 billion, which is 9% less than in the same period of 2013. The EBIT, on the other hand, grew by a remarkable 22% and amounted to 169 million euros. A decisive factor for this positive development was our reorganizational measures in Hungary, Switzerland, and Austria, which underwent, as you might recall, the exercise with our Task Force 2013-FF. The order backlog for the segment South and East registered significant growth versus the end of 2013 and showed a plus of 9% amounting to 4.1 billion euros. This can be explained in part by various mid-sized orders in Slovakia and Romania, but the order backlog also climbed significantly upward in Russia thanks to several contract awards in industrial construction. With regard to the outlook for 2015, one can state that the South and East segment should be able to generate a somewhat higher output volume of approximately 4.5 billion euros in 2015. thanks to the higher order backlog, an increase is expected, although the segment is characterized by smaller projects and only few large projects are currently being tendered. Also, the business environment and the price situation in the segment's region remain challenging. The activities in Russia shifted increasingly from a focus on residential and commercial construction to heavy industrial construction. We will be working off the newly acquired projects in the year to come. Meanwhile, the political developments in Ukraine and Russia since February 2014 are having and will have no significant influence on the situation of the group from today's perspective. Starbucks output, for instance, in 2014 in Ukraine amounted to less than 1% of the annual figure and to just about 2% in Russia. As construction is an export non-intensive industry in which most of the services are provided locally, and since we provide our service almost exclusively for private customers, we do not expect the political developments to have any immediate material impact on its business in Russia, even if the investment climate has cooled significantly. In 2015, no significant output volume is expected anymore to be achieved in Ukraine. But I would like to underline that despite the currently difficult situation in Russia and its comparably low importance to the group, we place a clear commitment to this market and do not intend to withdraw from it. We have been present there since the year 1991 and survived already several crises in that country. Let's now come to the third and smallest segment of the group, which is international special divisions, comprising, for instance, our tunneling activities, real estate development, concession business, raw materials for construction, and facility management. Thanks to the growth in the home market of Germany, the output volume of that segment increased by 5% in 2014. The contrasting upward and downward movements in the other countries more or less balanced each other out. The segment revenue gained 12%. Thanks to the sale of a large proprietary project development in Germany. The EBIT of the segment was boosted by 32% and amounted to 92 million euros. Especially positive impacts came from the sale of the aforementioned building construction project, although this was countered partly by write-offs on raw materials and by a goodwill impairment. The order backlog also increased considerably, namely by 9%, and amounted to 4.6 billion euros compared to the 31st December 2013. This figure received a boost, among other things, from the contract awards for the Ulriken rail tunnel in Norway, amounting for 75 million euros, and from the Talfes-Pfons section of the Brenner base tunnel in Austria, the largest section awarded to date, with a value of more than 190 million euros for Strabag. The plus of 7% in the number of employees of the segment was influenced largely by the already mentioned acquisition of the DIW Group for our facility management business. This company is based in Germany and Austria and specialized in the field of industrial clients. The takeover hence also serves to strengthen the position of Strabag Property and Facility Services as the second largest facility services enterprise in Germany. This position was further consolidated with a series of new orders, for instance, from companies in the media and retail business sector. With regard to the outlook for the running year, we would like to state that it should be possible to raise the output volume of the segment to 3.2 billion euros in this year. Earnings are also expected to remain satisfactory, even if it has to be admitted that the price level is ruinously low in some areas, for instance in tunneling. The economic situation continues to be challenging, especially in our traditional markets of Austria, Germany, and Switzerland. Strabag is therefore increasingly offering its technological know-how also outside of Europe. Currently being pursued in this regard are selected projects, for instance, in markets such as Canada or Chile. Although existing projects are mostly proceeding satisfactorily, the market for concession projects in transportation infrastructure in Europe remains weak in the face of a reduced project pipeline. We were, however, able to conclude two new contracts as part of consortia in 2014. For instance, for the nationwide rollout of a tolling system for trucks in Belgium, as well as the financing, design, construction, and operation of a section of the N17 and 18 motorway in Ireland. But potential projects, above all in Eastern Europe, hold significant political and financial challenges. In comparison, we again expect a solid earnings contribution from the following two business fields. In property and facility services, increased productivity should make it possible to partially compensate for the higher personnel cost from the newly concluded collective agreement for 2014. The real estate development business is profiting from higher rents and lower vacancy, especially in the German real estate centers. The construction materials business could be bolstered by an incipient stabilization of the economic situation of the construction industry in several Eastern European markets. The affordable bitumen prices are also having a positive impact. If I may sum up the outcome of the year 2014, I would like to do that with a hint to our slide given with the number 15. Basically, all important indicator figures improved. The output volume, as expected, remained exactly stable at 13.6 billion euros. The order backlog was increased by 7% to 14.4 billion. The earnings and cash flow figures all improved. EBIT was risen by 8% and amounted to 282 million, hence being exactly within the range expected by our consensus. Earnings per share amounted to even plus 13%, and the cash flow from operating activities improved by 16% over the end of last year. The dividend proposal implies an increase of 11% and amounts to 50 euro cent per share, as proposed to our annual general meeting on the 12th of June 2014, and the financial strength of the group was again underpinned by the tripled net cash position of almost 250 million euros by the end of last year and the maintained equity ratio of almost 31%. The resilience of our business model is shown on page number 16. We give you here the basic figures for the last half decade from 2010 to 2014. And I think it is evident that our flexible business model of double diversification proved to be the right choice in the past. As you can see, it provided a lot of stability in all the basic indicative figures of the group. I would like to sum up the outlook for the running year 2015, which is given in short on chart 17 of our presentation. As I mentioned before, we are entering 2015 with an order backlog of 14.4 billion, which is a very well-filled order book. This coming or running year could show that the phase of stagnation is over. Although we still do not expect a major investment growth, especially in transportation infrastructures in our home market of Germany in 2015, our broad diversification by region and by segment should still allow us to increase the output volume to about 14 billion, which means about 5%. We also believe that our constant effort to improve the risk project management and to lower costs will again have a noticeable positive impact on earnings in the running year. We therefore expect an EBIT of at least 300 million in 2015. This year should also see us coming closer to our goal of raising the EBIT margin to 3.0%. This against the backdrop of stable high demand in the German building construction and civil engineering segment. In the countries of Central and Eastern Europe, on the other hand, large projects are expected to remain few with high price pressure as a result. but I would like to underline once again that to reach 3% of EBIT margin, we do not need the market's help. Our company is diversified by regions and by segments with a strong financial structure, and this broad diversification puts us in a position to spread and better manage our risks. It also allows us to take advantage of opportunities as they arise and to adapt our capacities to the respective market situation. Economic growth is therefore not a necessary foundation for our forecast for 2015. It is our aim to attain an EBIT margin of 3% through consistent structural and process optimization and by jointly working on two issues with the company itself: risk management and our task force. To strengthen our risk management, we established a new organizational entity in 2014. The team in charge of this task is working on further developing the risk management system. This includes analyzing the positive and negative outcomes of construction projects in order to derive the lessons learned for future projects. On the other hand, the Task Force 2013-FF is focused on raising cost awareness within the group. The members of the task force have so far investigated the countries of Hungary, Switzerland, part of Germany, Poland, Austria, Southeast Europe, Denmark and Benelux to speak with the local management and to visit construction sites and local offices before presenting their final analysis documents to the board. The measures decided by the management board regarding the organizational positioning are being implemented in an ongoing process. Just as a building is constructed brick by brick, the work of the task force can be seen as a project being carried out one step at a time. Hence, you didn't hear any big bang events from the task force outcome, but nevertheless, a rather impressive result improvement, especially in the south and east segment. That was it for our presentation for the 2014 fiscal year. And now I'm glad to answer your eventual questions. Thank you very much for your attention. Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And the first question comes from Markus Remis of RCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Dr. Birtel. A few questions I do have. First of all, regarding the pricing in tunneling, you reiterated that prices are extremely low. I mean, given the risk that these projects typically carry, I mean, is it still worth competing for these projects? And is the tunneling pricing, low both in Europe and in the overseas areas, or is there differential?
No, in general, you could say, Mr. Remis, that tunneling is really a global business. And also the competitors are meeting each other everywhere. So it is really a global community. Tunneling is a complicated technical business, but still the risk profile is not explicitly worse than other projects. We should not forget that the tunneling business is by no means a turnkey lump sum business. It usually provides for contracts where you still have the chance to adapt according to the actual situation on site. For instance, you usually quote a certain price, assuming a certain quality of the ground which you have to work with. And once the quality or the character of the ground deviates considerably from what you have assumed, according to the facts given by the employer, you have a right for a variation order. So all in all, the tunneling risk profile is not inferior to a specific other business segment in construction, and the average high size of a single tunneling project still makes it, in our eyes, worthwhile to work on it. It is true, competition is fierce. On the other hand, the number of competitors is still somewhat limited, and we feel that it is a core part of the technological know-how of an Austrian construction company.
Sure, but is it then, say, still too many competitors out there, or is it more a lack of projects that exerts the price pressure?
Yeah, it could be more projects. It's true, it could be more projects. Sometimes there is a real cluster. For instance, some years ago, we saw a cluster of tunneling activities in Switzerland. In the meantime, we don't see any one tunneling project in Switzerland anymore, but we see some interesting projects in Austria, for instance, the Austrian side of the Brenner Basis Tunnel, Semmering, or also Choralm. So there you see a shift that really depends on project by project.
Okay. Then secondly, concerning the 3% margin target, is that somehow built into the variable compensation of the management board?
No, we have a very simple compensation scheme, which is exclusively based on results.
Okay.
So we don't have any midterm elements in our compensation scheme, except of the payout of the compensation, because a certain percentage of the bonuses are kept within the company for some years in order to make sure that eventual future losses can be offset against them.
Okay, thank you. And then I would have two bookkeeping questions. I mean, first of all, the results from associates and also the income from investment. I mean, that was quite a swing factor in 2014 versus 2013. I mean, given the volatility of these numbers, I mean, is 2014 more of a, say, basis for 2015, or have there been any positive effects that have driven this swing?
Difficult question, because we are talking about a very high number of rather small scale operations, and hence it is difficult to predict. We have a lot of projects which are shown under this line. For instance, our joint ventures, Arbeitsgemeinschaften, have been shown there. But I would also say that, on the other hand, we had some write-offs also in that line this year. So I would say it was more or less a normal year.
Okay. And then lastly, could you give us your CapEx figure for 2015?
We think it will be more or less flat for the running year over 2014.
Okay, so
again, given the fact that we have some major projects where we have to invest specifically for a tunneling project, for instance. So it will be more or less a flat development.
Okay, so 350 excluding any?
Excluding project-related investment, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one at this time. And the next question comes from Tobias Loskamp of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. First question that I have relates to your business south and east, where you have benefited from the from a sale of a real estate. Can you maybe give some more or shed some more light on what happened with that one, and is it something extraordinary, or is it something that can happen in the coming year again?
The sale of the real estate development project was shown in our international and special divisions. And this was part of very normal business, because we have a German subsidiary, Strabag Real Estate GmbH, which is continuously developing real estate projects as for sale. And this project, to be more precise, was the so-called Dancing Towers in Hamburg, which were developed for sale and which have been sold in two steps. They were consisting of a hotel, which had been sold already the year before, and the two office towers had been sold to a German insurance company in the course of this year. Very normal business for our sub-segment or our specialty real estate development.
Okay. Now, I was only wondering, because it's highlighted quite a bit and possibly could explain also the step up in the margins. But
That's for sure. It was a big project. But, for instance, we will be seeing other projects of that kind in the years to come. Real estate has already sold another major project in Berlin, which we do not yet see that much in the figures, because it is not yet built, but it is already being sold. So it is foreseeable that, for instance, in 2016, we will be seeing that major sale as well. Currently, it is a strong contribution to our earnings in that segment, that's for sure, thanks to the good market situation, especially in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Then a question on maybe on Transtroy, if you can give us an update, you know, whether this you have received the money back, or the option is still open, or what is current state of discussions and plans on the Strabag management board?
Yeah, it is no secret that Basic Element, being the final proprietor of Transtroy, has sold the operation by the end of last year, 2014. We have always said that the financing of the down payment is secured by other means, by bank guarantees, for instance, which have nothing to do with the Transtroy operation as such. You are given more details, by the way, on page 188 of our annual report, and you can derive from there that even before Basic Element has sold Transtroy, we had reduced the down payment from 70 million to 35 million, because it was obvious that the reduction was appropriate. And we have also, by the middle of last year, we have agreed upon a repayment scheme which is basically independent from the fate of Transtroy, and this agreement is still valid. It is well secured, so the current status of the agreement is being given on page 188 of the annual report.
Okay, that's also good to hear. Then a question on Strabag AG, which gave, let's say, a little bit disturbing profit warning a couple of weeks back. And I was just wondering, you know, whether you had, let's say, baked these weaker results into your business already from the beginning of the year, because you're taking over a more cautious stance, or is it something that has surprised you also more in Q4, where you have then, where you were able to make this up with other projects?
Mm. Well, you might recall that in Q4, of course, we have a lot of questions with regard to the year's end closure, for instance, impairment tests, and then it might occur that that some figures will have to be booked, for instance, in the group or in parts of the group which belong to BHB AG, a holding structure which is partly owned by Strabag of Cologne. And Strabag of Cologne this year has also seen the flop project of the motorway in the Netherlands, and hence two factors came together, which were just to be shown in that part of the group, Strabag of Cologne. And given the fact that Strabag Cologne is still quoted on the stock exchange, we had to give that profit warning. In general, it is a very normal development that you have some negative effects in certain parts of the group and you have some other positive effects in other parts of the group. It was just a special situation that we have to publish them ad hoc in the case of Strabag Cologne because of that special situation. But it was a very normal, let's say, a very normal process for us to close the accounts in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. So, the Dutch project, is so that's basically the same one that you have already negatively talked about all year already. Is that fair to say?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah, it is the A15. We had taken certain precautious measures for that project, but it turned out that it was not yet enough. We have to admit that.
All right, sure. And then the final question that I have, I mean, you talk in the outlook statement also about selective diversification. On the other hand, you say that your own home market is enough to bring you to the 3% margin target. I mean, why don't you think it only adds more risk than earnings power to the group, particularly that, I mean, the share is now very low, and even with a ambitious target to grow that above 10%, it's not really a big game changer. Is it something where you really want to utilize your capacities better, or what stands behind it? Because for my, let's say, from historical experience, you know, moving into new markets or new regions is oftentimes more costly than it adds value.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it should not be forgotten that the expansion in the non-European business will definitely not be the core of our profitability in the future. It is a fact to strengthen and better diversify it, but 10% still is only 10%. The basic profitability in the future, in our eyes, will stem from two factors or two regions in our already present core markets. The first is the point that not in 2015, eventually not even in 2016, but definitely within a midterm period of time, we will be seeing a considerable strengthening of the infrastructure business in Germany, especially in the western part of Germany. As I pointed out before, we haven't seen anything considerable in 2014. We do not expect anything very considerable for 2015, but it will have to come sooner or later. So this will materialize within a mid-term period of time. And the second point is that we also expect a considerable growth potential in our CEE and SEE markets due to the fact that they do have an immense need for new infrastructure. Still, they have that immense need. They have a rather sound budget situation in the majority of the countries. For instance, Romania, Bulgaria have very sound budget situations. And they have, as far as they belong to the European Union, they have the approval from Brussels to be considerably supported by very big co-financing means, at least until 2022. So to sum it up, we believe that the considerable growth potential will be stemming from West German infrastructure and from new infrastructure measures in the CE region within a midterm period of time.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the elaboration. But the diversification, let's say, outside of Europe, is it something which is for you rather something where you need to, where you want to fully utilize your current capacities by that move, or is it something that you think is just a sensible growth path for the business?
Yeah, we believe that we have a technical know-how which we can market more aggressively in non-European markets than we did before. Given the experience we have in our core markets, we can export more of them in the future. It is not basically a better utilization of existing capacities because we are not a car manufacturer. We would have to send technical personnel to those countries. We would probably have to buy machinery there. But it is the basic idea is to make better use of existing technological know-how and specialty know-how.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Welcome.
And the next question comes from the line of Daniel Leon of Erste Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hello. There's not too much left, I guess. One issue. What we've heard at the poor results presentation is that some merger activity might be going on in Austria as well. To what extent would you see yourself in the position here, or also to what extent would you like to be active in consolidating the Austrian market?
Well, consolidating the Austrian market, in my eyes, would mean to reduce capacities. And of course, we would not like to take part in that game, once it would mean that we would be asked to reduce capacities. We would, on the other hand, we did not deny the necessity to reduce capacities once the insolvency of Alpine occurred the other year. And what we did in order to help to restructure the market was that we did not take over resources from Alpine, at least not in a considerable amount. And I do not believe that simply merger activities would contribute to market restructurization in Austria. It would mean merge and suppress. And there, I do not see how we could play a role once we take the position that we, in any case, would like to defend our market position.
Would it be the same situation in Germany?
I think basically, yes. The situation in Germany is a little bit different because over the years of the crisis between 1995 and 2005, we have seen a lot of insolvencies of the kind of Alpine. We have seen the insolvency of Holzmann. We have seen the insolvency of the Walter Group with Duvidac, Heilig and Werner. We have seen the part withdrawal of players of Bilfinger and Hochtief, at least from the construction market. So we have seen a stronger movement for a market restructurization thanks or because of the 10 years of crisis, and we did not have such a sort of severe crisis in Austria so far. So I see it different. I see the two markets differently today.
Okay. And then one more issue. Is there any movement or any decision or any thoughts regarding a share buyback or a potential or a partial share buyback in the near-term future, and maybe starting a new one?
Well, starting a new one would have as a precondition that we would cancel the existing own shares, or that we would find the possibility to make use of them as an acquisition currency, or that we would at least cancel them partially, because today we have already 10% of own shares, and we are not allowed by law to buy any further own shares. With regard to the acquisition currency idea, I could not say today that we have a concrete perspective of making use for that.
So also canceling part of these shares is not an issue.
Is not an issue, is not a decision till today. Could be an option, at least partially, but not within short. Otherwise, we would have that on the agenda of our annual general meeting.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lyon.
Mr. Birtel, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
That's great. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you the next quarter. Thank you.